Hannah Esther.
Hello.
Hi, Hannah.
Hello.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Fine. How about yourself?
Oh, good. I'm good.
Okay. Brandela. Hi, Brandy. Hasn't come on yet.
Hey. Okay. I'm on mute. I'm in my car.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm gonna mute as soon as he comes on.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Shavuot Tov.
Shavuot Tov. Gonna mute.
I see there's a number of people on, and most of you are muted. In fact, I think all of you are muted because I'm not getting any static. Thank you. So please join me in saying the Anna Bekoach. Anna Bekoach, Gedulat Shemincha. Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sag Beinu Taharenu No Ra Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Na Gibor Dor Shechutva Kiva Sham Reim Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. The letters of the month of Nisan. The Dalet that created the planet Ma'adim, the planet Mars, the planet of war, the planet of conflict, the planet of passion. And the Hay that created the constellation Tale, the ram, or the female form is the lamb, the astrological sign of Aries. Together, the Dalet and the Hay have a gematria of 9, and 9 is the number that connects to creativity. It creates to sexuality. It creates to the foundation. It creates to the bone structure, especially the spine that supports the body. Barchem tacharem rachamei sitkatcha Tami gam lem betet resh tzadi taf gimel. Chasin kadosh birov tuvcha na'el adatach. Betet resh tzadi taf gimel. Chasin kadosh birov tuvcha na'el adatach. Het kuf bet tet nunayim. Yachid geye lamcha pene zokre kedushata yud gimelamed he zayin kuf shavatenu kabel ushma tziakatenu yodeya talumot shin kuf vav tzadi yud taf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. Now I'd like to separate the right column energy from the left column energy within this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Apaim Virav Chesed Ve'emet Notze Chesed La'alafim Noseaon Wafesha V'chata'av V'nakei. We will now read the verses that two verses that connect to the energy of this year, the energy of the year of the goat, 5777. Prior to reading the first of these two verses, we will say L'shem Yehud. The first verse that we will read is Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. Shem Yehud Kud Shabrihu Ishkin Te Bit Hilu Urhimud Hilu Hilu Urhimu Leakta Lashem Yud He Bavav He Beyehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La Sok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konanei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konanehu Tzod Saduni Katzipor Oyevai Chinam. When we take the first letters of these words of this verse, we're able to permute them into three Hebrew words, Tzatzki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, the last letters of these words, we're able to permute them into two Hebrew words, dir yam. And this can be translated as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to this year of the goat is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. These letters of the name of the year are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadebaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. There are two verses that connect to the year of the pause, which is the year 5776. The first of these two verses is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Fraka kohanim ayulimat, willo yachlu lehavshit et kol ha'olot v'yehaskum achechem ha'levi'im ad kelot hamlacha v'yad yitkachu ha'kohanim ki ha'levi'im yishrei levav lehitkadesh me'ha'kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into 8 names of God. Adonai Yohei Wahei La La Hei Wa 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 Yo La Yo Alame Hey 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 Aka A Reka Ha. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidchu ba Adonai Yohewahe Ade Ad Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tzur Olamim. There are 3 verses that connect to the year 5775. The energy of that year was swallowing death forever, Bila Hamavet LaNetzach. The first verse that we will read is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni, lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. We will then read 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavo iyam, asher yidchabe sham v'shavtem elai el nachom, v'halachti yidchem v'chayayim yeshno, v'aretz v'hipasti, O Tob, call Alfe Yehuda. And the third of the 3 verses is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yom ruayo. The year of 5774, the year of peace in the Middle East, there's only one verse that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wesam timakom le'amil Yisrael untati v'shakan takta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu Bene avlal anoto ka asher barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar, from Parashat Yitro, from Pasuk 29, which has the energy of certainty. Rabbi Abamar v'kamatar tanenan dekucha. Parihu koma diaved leela witata kolaihu kishot viovada dikshot peleilach mila bi alma divae barnash ledachya leya mineya ulan hagabeya Kalana deha kulu, ovada dikshot inun wikola, itzterich be alma. We'll now scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names of the Tzaddikim, from the Tzaddikim. And the names of the Tzaddikim who left this day, the sixth day of Elul: Rabbi Aaron ben Rabbi Shmuel Yaakov Roth, Rabbi Hillel ben Zev Zvi HaKohen Klein, Rabbi Meir ben Yaakov Schiff, the Maharam Schiff, and some sources say that his Hilulah is the 20th of Adar rather than the 6th of Nisan. Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch of Korish Tzchove. Rabbi Shmuel Yehuda Katzenellenbogen. Rabbi Yaakov Tamerlis. Rabbi Chaim Abulafia. And Rabbi Meir Dan Plotsky of Warsaw. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper. To find the handout for our Pesach Seder preparation. It takes two links to get there. The first link is the unique astrological times, which you can find underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage. When you open that link, please scroll down a little over half of the page, where you will see preparation for the spring holidays. And the first link under that is titled Preparation for the Holidays of Purim, Pesach, the Omer, and Shavuot. When you click on that link, it opens up to a list of the preparation classes. This particular class is class 7. Which is about 40% of the way down the page. When you speak of that, or when you open that up, you'll be the link that is restarting our additional study of the Seder. But prior to that, I'd like to read a little bit about Shabbat Tzav, which is this coming Sunday. But it's also Shabbat HaGadol. And Shabbat HaGadol is a very unique Shabbat because it has a special name, the Big Shabbat. But it doesn't have a special reading. It is always the Shabbat before Passover. And most rabbis and pulpit rabbis do their utmost on this Shabbat, Shabbat HaGadol, to speak of a lesson, to speak of a discussion of Pesach, but on many other subjects as well. This is to them, to the rabbis. They indicate that this is the most important drash, the important explanation, the important pulpit speech that they give, even more so than what is given on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The name of the week is, the portion is, Tzav, and we know that Tzav translates as command. And we know that the Zohar teaches us that a command, even from Hashem, is considered idol worship. If we do the actions of the mitzvot because Hashem commands us, it's not what Hashem wants. Because to accept a command gives up your connection to free will. You have accepted a subservient level of consciousness. The explanations as to why the Shabbat before Pesach is called Shabbat HaGadol have never satisfied me. The explanations have to do with physical explanations dealing with the first Shabbat before the actual Exodus, leaving Egypt with Moshe and the children of Israel. We know that nothing in our tradition is due to physical things. There is always a spiritual explanation. The gematria of HaGadol is 42. And this relates to the 42-letter name of God known as the Ana Bekoach. And as we have taught in our basic class on the Ana Bekoach, the words of the Ana Bekoach are vessels to hold the light of the letters of creation, the 42-letter name of God, that in our generation, since about the 13 or 1400s when the song was written, we no longer have the ability to make connect direction with the raw life force of the name itself. So each letter is a vessel to hold the light of that letter. It is taught that Hashem used this name to create our physical world. And this Shabbat before Pesach is the purpose of creation. As Rashi said, the Torah should not start with in a beginning, but with the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. The same should be said about the Shabbat before the first Pesach. This Shabbat has the energy of the Exodus, which is the energy of creation, and also the purpose of creation. It is fitting that the reading always on Shabbat HaGadol is Sav. And this reading has 96 verses, which is also the gematria of the name of this parasha. And this only happens for this one parasha in each and every year. This is the parasha of Shabbat HaGadol. I have already expressed this paragraph of Tzav meaning command. But the next paragraph, many religious people speak of doing Hashem's will. In my opinion, we must grow our consciousness to understand that Hashem created us to reveal his light. Therefore, his will is our desire. He created those desires. They are his will. Our desire is what Hashem wants. Our desire is the will of Hashem. Of course, this must be understood that when our desire is selfish, it must first be cleansed by changing it to a desire to receive in order to share. This is the essential teaching of Kabbalah. This is the essential lesson we must learn as we cleanse our homes and ourselves of chametz, the puffed up ego that leaves no room for Hashem. We can now return to the handout on the Seder preparation. Before I start, does anyone have any questions? And if you've muted your phone, which I do appreciate, please press star 6 in order to be heard, in order to ask a question. And of course,
can you say where the handout is again? I'm on the page which is astrological time.
Okay, if you scroll down on that page to where it says preparation for the spring holidays, it's about halfway down the page. The first link under that is the link you'll click on. The second link under that, it says Rosh Chodesh Adar.
Oh, wait.
So it's before Purim and so forth.
So it's when not holiday. It's holiday Purim, Pesach, Omer, Shavuos?
Correct. That's the link.
Right. So on that page where it says Pesach in the month of Nisan?
I'm not. Are you still on your unique astrological, or are you on
no.
the? Okay,
no.
So you're
on Kabbalah preparation, holiday Purim, Pesach, Omer, Shavuos,
right. Okay.
And then it says preparation for Pesach in the month of Nisan.
Right. Now scroll down about 40% of the page, and you'll see a list of classes, all starting with the first. Same first name, Kabbalistic Preparation for the Spring and Summer Holidays. And there's Class 4, Class 5, Class 6. There's two Class 6 because there are two parts to it. We are on Class 7.
No, not there. Preparation for the Spring and Summer Holidays. Class 3. No.
You go below that to Class 4.
Oh, the spring and summer holidays, first days of Nisan?
Yes, but
that
we're
one?
On class
oh.
7, so it does not have an additional. Just look for class 7 at the end of the
Okay.
And that's the page that we are on.
Pesach Seder preparation.
Yes.
Right? Okay,
correct.
Great, thanks.
I apologize for the difficulty in finding the handouts. My mind does tend to work differently than most other people's. To me, it's logical, but for some people, it is not logical. And I understand that. So please accept my apology. So the first section is more on matzah and chametz. Matzah and chametz come from the similar source, but differ in that matzah has the letter he, while chametz has the letter chet. And we will have a teaching below that I'm going to skip from Rabbi Gershom Winkler that helps to explain that difference. Chametz is spelled Chet Mem Tzadi, while matzah is spelled Mem Tzadi He. They share the letters Mem and Tzadi. Together, these spell the word Matz, which means to beat, or Metz, which means to oppress. The letter Chet is similar to the word Chet, which means sin. Thus, Chametz can be thought of as Chet Metz, which means the sin of oppression. When we eat chametz, we are oppressing our souls, our yetzer tov, our good inclination, and subjecting it to a foreign power, the yetzer hara, the evil inclination. Another aspect of this sin of oppression is that of coercion in our lives. When we try to be right with our ideas being a better solution for another person than their own perceptions of what is right for them, we are committing this sin of oppression. When we perceive what we think is right for another person, we may be compromising and redirecting that person's essence unless we have true love for that person. It is better to not make suggestions unless the person asks us for our opinion. And as an unwritten commentary to this section, this paragraph. I have been teaching in the recent past, quite a few years, but still recent past, that in order for an action to be considered right, correct, proper, it must have three components. It must be the right action, it must be at the right time, and it must be done in the right location. If any of those three is not valid, not happening at that appropriate way, then the action in the spiritual level will not be considered a proper, good action. And in fact, in many cases, will boomerang back to us following the boomerang law, that what you do comes back to you. And in this case, it comes back as chaos. Continuing to read. One of the purposes of the matzah is to correct for that sin of oppression. Matzah can be thought of as metzhei, which means to oppress the five. The letter he has a numerical value of five. The sages list four cardinal sins: idolatry, bloodshed, immorality, and lashon hara. Speaking of lashon hara, we will be starting a class in Atlanta at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon, commencing the Sunday of April 23rd, the first Sunday after the holiday of Pesach. And in that class, which will be on the conference call as well, we will have a class in Atlanta where I physically am, explaining Lashon Hara in great detail from a Kabbalistic perspective and from a practical perspective, which is, to me, are the same thing. I would like to add one more, the sin of apathy and forgetfulness. Too often we sit by and let evil happen because it is either not our concern or we don't have time to get involved. Maybe someone else should do it. The end result is that the evil goes on. By eating the matzah, we oppress these five deadly sins and free ourselves for 1 week for a spiritual redemption. And that 1 week is also effectively for the whole year. Matzah spelled backwards is hatzom, which means the fast, or hatzam, which means the thirst. The difference is vowels, while the letters are the same. Therefore, the matzah is the thirst for answers. The sages also call matzah as lachemoni, which translates as the bread of the poor or the bread of affliction. And the sages also interpret lechem oni not as poor bread or bread of the poor, but in the sense of oneh, meaning answers, the bread of answers. The matzah is the bread over which answers are given. In the Haggadah, we say halachma anya. This is the bread of affliction. This can also mean that this is the bread of answers. After the four questions are asked during the Pesach Seder, the matzot are uncovered, and we deliver the answer to the youngest child. Remember, halachma anya precedes the four questions and actually starts the section known as the Magid, the storytelling of the Haggadah, which the shorish of Haggadah is the telling of the story of the Exodus. Pesach is a mouth that speaks. All of these words, all of these connections have great significance in the Kabbalah. Thus, the writer of the Haggadah is teaching us the truth about cause and effect. It is the answer that is the cause, and the question that is the effect of the answer that wants to be revealed. It's very Kabbalistic and also very true. Chametz can be thought of as samchet, thirsting for sin as well, God forbid. By relying on material possessions, instead of devoting ourselves to good deeds, Torah study, and the performance of mitzvot, we lust after those things that in the end makes us poorer and not richer. We are not truly free if we are slaves to our possessions. And the definition of idol worship from the Kabbalah is anything on the physical level that we are unable to let go of, we are unable to live without. Now, the next section of the handout is the story that I mentioned by Rabbi Gershon Winkler. It's titled Nooks, Crannies, and Pockets. And I will leave you to read that individually, primarily because of time considerations. I am scrolling below the story to where it says freedom and its meaning. Before we return to the Seder stages, let us discuss the concept of freedom. As we have learned and will learn again, Pesach is about asking questions. What is the physical and political effect of the holiday of Pesach? It is the transition of political power from one nation, Egypt, to another nation. The basic essence of the nation Egypt is learned from the Hebrew shoresh, or its root, of the Hebrew word Mitzrayim. The shoresh is Metzar, spelled Mem Tzadi Resh. You remember those letters Mem Tzadi in the Matzah and in the Chametz? Mem Tzadi Resh has the meaning of narrow, of limited, of being in straits and having boundaries, limitations. The country of Egypt has the essence of being limited, setting borders and venerating body consciousness over soul consciousness. We learn this from the fact that in their burial customs and practices, mummification was the goal. And this is only just one aspect of their narrowness, of their limitations. According to the Bible, Egypt became the soul, S-O-U-L, but also S-O-L-E, the soul world power, through the auspices of Joseph HaTzadik. In fact, all of the world came to Egypt to buy food during the 7 years of famine, which was so severe that it actually destroyed all food storage outside of Egypt in 2 years. The effect of this famine was to bring Jacob and the children of Israel into this narrow place, Egypt. It also essentially moved all of the wealth of the world into Egypt as well. The purpose of this was to allow the children of Israel to go out of Mitzrayim with that wealth, as prophesied by Hashem to Abraham. Were the plagues real miracles, or were they natural events? What changes about the Exodus if the miracles are natural events? Nothing. So why do men struggle so much with this issue? Just as we have learned that the tools of the Anabba Koach and the Zohar work for believers and non-believers as well, the effect of the Exodus does not change if the cause was mystical, spiritual, or natural, physical. The political impact described above actually has a different perception. Egypt valued the body and felt that the man did not have a divine right to freedom. The teachings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is exactly the opposite. Freedom is a divine or innate right attached to each human being. The correction of the month of Nisan is that right to be free. Israel essentially shone a light on the practice of limitation and borders. The Bible teaches that Israel has the responsibility to be a light unto the nations. That light includes human freedom, which is another word for free choice. Moshe came to Pharaoh for the purpose of being Pharaoh. Human freedom and free choice has nothing to do with governments. The Torah teaches that first freedom is a state of mind, a state of consciousness. What Egypt learned, and each individual must learn for themselves, slavery of the body starts with slavery of the mind. Yet before that, one must understand, what does freedom mean? Freedom is responsibility. What is the opposite of freedom? Parenting. Someone else should take care of me. This is the conflict that rages until today between the children of Israel and the rest of mankind. Israel teaches, as Kabbalah teaches, accept the responsibility for your actions. While we continue to see the manifestation, even up to today in the United States, that parenting provides, in the United States, bigger government will provide for everyone. How do we break out of slavery of the mind that is created by our own created limitations? That is the Seder and its rituals. What is the first Esther Dibrot, the Ten Utterances, what others call the Ten Commandments? I am Hashem who took you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. As a student of Kabbalah, I ask you to use your brains and read between the lines of that statement. The first Esther Dibrot is to leave Egypt. This means to become free, to break out of your self-imposed limitations, and to accept your responsibility. The true slave wants to be taken care of like a child. There are slaves today. These people do not want to accept their responsibility. How do we overcome our own desire to be taken care of? How do we become free? Through the ritual of the Seder and its steps. Let us start looking at them now. The Seder plate is a tree of life glyph. It is a tree of life. What is the tree of life? Oh, it's the 10 Sephirot. Oh, it's the 7 lower Sephirot plus the 3 upper Sephirot. There are many ways to understand the tree of life. But the Seder plate is one of those ways. I'm continuing to read. Actually, there is one step that needs to be performed prior to the Seder steps, and that is to build the Tree of Life for the table, or to build the Magen David, the Shield of David, for the table, which is another form of the Tree of Life. In fact, they are both the same thing. This is a little-known piece of wisdom. We have all seen the Tree of Life glyph, and you have all heard me teach you what Rabbi Ashlag said about the Tree of Life glyph, that it should not be used to help people understand the Tree of Life, because it is a two-dimensional picture in a 10-dimensional universe. We need to picture it with our minds and our imagination, not see it physically. Now you will begin to see, to learn why this is true. Most seders that I have attended are boring, and I end up hungry and miserable and looking for a confrontation with my sisters. That's because I had no brothers. The hunger comes from the little-known fact that food is not forbidden prior to the matzah. It just cannot be matzah. So have plenty of nash items, and people should plan to not wait for the main course, but enjoy the appetizers, as long as they are not matzah. Fruits and vegetables are best. The family fights and conflicts come a little from and a lot from the fact that the Seder plate is already on the table and is not built as part of the ritual. When it is built as part of the ritual, it truly becomes a protection shield. I will not go into the idea of the Star of David, which is the Seder plate, but I will describe the mechanism of building the Tree of Life, which certainly does not look like the glyph. I'm skipping these next few links, which are really just pictures of various kinds of Seder plates. I've skipped down to where it says, now let us build the Seder plate. We start with the traditional Seder plate, perhaps round with six locations marked on the plate. No, you do not have to use a traditional plate. You can use a regular Pesach dinner plate if you wish. One of the Hebrew words for plate, I should also add, it is important to have a plate. It's not good to take six different small dishes and set them up in the order of the Seder plate. You need a Seder plate to unify the six sephirot that are being described and connected to with the six physical items in the Seder plate or on the Seder plate itself. Continuing to read. One of the Hebrew words for plate is maneh. Its gematria is 95, which is the same gematria of the Hebrew word hamelech, which translates as the king. Thus, the Seder plate itself is the Sefirah of Malchut. And we know Malchut is manifestation. Malchut is our physical world. Malchut is a mixture of good and evil. Malchut is right and left in unity, its central column, when it is corrected. Continuing to read. Place in the center lower part of the plate the chatzeret, which is spelled chet zayin resh taf. Chatzeret means romaine lettuce. When chatzeret is permutated, it becomes raz chet taf, or the secret of being broken. This is the beginning of the breaking of your desire to receive for oneself alone. The chatzeret is the sephirot of yesod. Next, on the left side of the plate, slightly above the chatzeret, we place the karpas, or the parsley. It can also be a radish, if parsley is not available, as was true in Eastern Europe at the end of winter. Also, radishes are red and white in color, indicating two different energies, sharing energy and receiving energy. When the word karpas is broken into its component syllables, kar and pas, It translates as striped sheep. This is a hint to DNA manipulation and correction of all genetic diseases. It also hints back to Jacob impacting the physical DNA of Laban's sheep and receiving his just reward and parnassah for his work for Laban. In our email that you may have received this morning, we have a section that we have recommended that you continue to say. Akudim, Berudim, Nikudim, these three words come from this section of the Torah that is describing how Jacob manipulated DNA, manipulated the root, the seed level, the shorish, the beginning of which sheep would have which kind of coloring on its outside. And as we know, Jacob left Laban very wealthy in the terms of sheep and animals. And Laban knew that his wealth actually came from the fact that Jacob was among his people. Continuing to read. Thus the karpas being hod relates to sustenance for all. Also karpas has a gematria of 360, which is the same as the sequence mechashiyah. This is the fifth of the 72 names with the addition of God's help, Yud-Heh. The fifth name of the 72 names, Mem He Shin, is related to healing. Not just healing of illnesses, although that's how most people think of it, but healing of your parnassah as well. Healing of any lack in your life, soulmates, marriages, children, any lack. Healing is many times necessary to fix the flow of parnassah. Next, place on the right side of the plate, opposite hod, the mixture called charoset. Charoset is spelled chet resh vav samach tav. Charoset is best prepared during the day prior to the Seder. It consists of 10 items, consisting of 3 spices and 7 fruits. It has the appearance of mortar to remind those connecting to history of the slavery in Egypt. The next section I'm not going to read because of time considerations. It's not really identified, but it's talking about the relationship of the 10 components to the Sefirot. And this information comes from the writings of Rabbi Chaim, I always forget. The student of the Ari, Rabbi Chaim Vital. But it's based on the writings and teachings of the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria. And he is the most famous Mekubal in the last 600 years. Having lived in Sfat during the Kabbalistic resurgence after the expelling from, or the expelled action of Spain, throwing the Jews out of Spain in 1492. I will tell you that there are many different recipes, some that follow these 10 suggestions from the Ari and some that do not. And I will tell you, the best tasting charoset I ever ate, you can find on the internet by running a search for the recipe of charoset from the Caribbean. Because the majority of it doesn't have 10 components, but the majority of it starts with a fruit that I didn't know about in my youth, but I have come to love. And I have loved it so much, I have forgotten its name. But it will return. You all know it. Next, after charoset is set and we realize it's connected to Netzach, we place the bitter herb called maror in the center of the plate, above the chatzeret. Maror is spelled Mem Resh Vav Resh. Its gematria is 446, which is the same gematria as Mavet, which means death. Maror is a vaccine against death, as we will discuss within the 15 steps of the Seder. This is why Maror is placed as Tiferet. Maror is horseradish, and it is best to grind it just before eating. The fresher, the better. The fresher, the more difficult, but the more death is removed from your life. Now place a hard-boiled egg on the left of the plate, above the karpas. And the Hebrew word for egg is betza, spelled bet yud sadi he. The egg is a very interesting item in the world. It's the only item that gets harder and harder the more energy or the more fire you put into it. Everything else material is destroyed by the fire, while an egg just gets harder. This is why the egg is used as Giburah. Many people provide many hard-boiled eggs on the table prior to the meal. Yet they do not realize that it is necessary to say the She'akol blessing prior to eating them. So most people think it is incorrect to do so and wait until the Motzi step to start eating them. Then they end up eating them after Hamotzi and while the food is being put on the table. You can eat an egg anytime that you are hungry. Just say the Shah HaKol blessing prior to eating it, if the Hamotzi blessing on the matzah has not yet been said. Now place the scorched shank bone called Zaroa in Hebrew, Zayin Resh Vav Ayin, above the charoset and across from the egg. The shank bone should be scorched by fire during the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan. This sometimes leads to arguments about the use of the oven. If this might happen, the suggestion is to use a roasted tomato as a replacement. The Talmud teaches that the roasted tomato has the same energy and was used in temple times by vegetarians. If your household is vegetarian, this is the halakhic alternative. The shank bone from either a lamb or chicken, both animals are left column animals. When roasted, which sweetens the negativity and makes them acceptable as items of chesed, of loving kindness. Now verbalize the tree from top down. Everyone should build his own Seder plate, his own protection, his own tree of life. This is too expensive for a communal Seder. So the normal method is for the human head of the table to build it with everyone else in mind. While this is happening, it is best to meditate on the actions of the table head. Everyone verbalize out loud in a normal voice from the top down. The roasted shankbone or the tomato, zaroa, chesed. Boiled egg or beitza, giburah. Bitter herb, maror, tiferet. The mix of items, charoset, netzach. The parsley, the karpas, hod. The romaine lettuce, chatzeret, yosod. And the plate itself, malchut. Now, place the plate on the table near the head of the table. Now we need to prepare the three matzot, the upper three sefirot. Take a normal Pesach plate and place three matzot upon the plate, one at a time. Now lift up the top matzah and inject into that matzah the consciousness of Abraham, right column energy, sharing energy, chachma, wisdom, by saying out loud and meditating on Abraham, right column, sharing. Now pick up the middle matzah and inject the consciousness of Yitzhak, left column, receiving, bina, in the same manner as the first matzah. Now pick up the bottom matzah and inject the consciousness of Israel, the middle column, balance, created through binding by striking, which is dot, in the same manner as the other two matzot. Now if you have the correct double layer Seder plate shown in the picture above, then place the three matzot in the concealed part of the double-layer Seder plate and the Seder plate on top so that it is visible. If you do not have the double-layer Seder plate, and most people do not, then you can put the plate with the matzah over the Seder plate for a few seconds while you say the names of the 10 sefirot. Then put the plates on the table side by side with the matzot to the direction of the south. This is really the end of our class. There's a short section about the Magen David, and I will read that short paragraph. And then there is a short discussion of what is the Magen David, the Shield of David, representing the Tree of Life. Some people put the Chatzeret above the Zaroa and the Beitza in the middle. Then they put the Maror at the bottom of the plate, below in the middle, below the Charoset and the Karpas. Thus they form two triangles that are interlocking. And this is the design of the Magen David, the Magen David, the Shield of David. Is anyone surprised that the Magen David and the Tree of Life are related? This is the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Hannah.
Okay, I'm wondering, the double layer Seder plate, is this what we used to call the unity bag?
Since I've never heard that term, I can't answer you. But if you find the handout, there's a link to a picture of a double layer Seder plate. And what it is the one that I saw in the picture that I put there. It's a round Seder plate that has about 4 inches from the bottom to the first step. And in those 4 inches, there are doors that you can open or close. And you can put into that middle section, which is being concealed by the closed doors, you can put the matzot inside, representing the 3 upper sefirot, which are not in our physical world and need to be concealed. But there are times in the Seder where we need to open them and reveal them. Then on top of that second section is a location where you can place the normal, and I use the word normal with quotes, you can put the normal Seder plate showing the 6 items, the 6 sefirot that we just went through, how to create them, how to place them. So I hope I'm verbally describing what's in the picture, and I hope it answered your question.
Well, I'll have to look at the picture, but we've always had for 25 years, and every Seder I've ever been to, it's we call it a bag. It has 3 compartments, and a piece of matzah goes in each one. The middle one is the one that's broken that becomes the afikoman.
That's correct, and we discussed that at that stage in the Seder.
Mm-hmm. So that's not the same thing.
Well, it is the same thing. The bag you're describing, which I had never heard that name before, the bag you're describing is just a way of separating the 3 matzot from each other and yet still keeping them in a unified whole.
Okay, thank you.
I'd just like to ask if you're in someone else's Seder, so, because you're talking about physical action, but if they would be doing it the way they're doing it, is it enough just to be thinking these things?
It's enough to be whispering them to yourself. Thought does not manifest in the physical world, but you don't have to draw attention to yourself by speaking out loud. But you do need to whisper it. You do need to manifest thoughts with words.
Okay.
Are there any other questions? Our classes this coming week, we're going to be preparing mostly for the Seder. We're going to be cleaning the chametz, which is really cleaning ourselves and evaluating areas of our life that need to be changed. But in Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 4:30, we will have mini Zohar classes, and they will be our normal classes. Monday and Tuesday at 7 p.m., we will have discussions of the Seder itself and the 15 steps, similar to what we've just gone through, because we just started the Seder. We haven't even gotten to the end of it. And then on 8 a.m., each of the 5 days, Monday to Friday and really through Saturday, we will have the ritual of taking control of the month. And as I said a few times this past week and today, if you miss a day, if you don't do the ritual, then you can make them up through God's mercy. He's created a day called the 13th day, the 13th day of Nisan, where we review all of the 12 days before it, and we take control of those months. So if you did miss a day, you can quote-unquote make it up on the 13th day, and we will do that next Sunday. Wednesday at 7 p.m., is our normal questions and answers series. And we have on that day all any question. Sometimes I'll know the answer. Sometimes other people on the call will know the answer. But it's up to the people to join the class at 7 p.m. to be able to ask your questions or to send me an email or a text. My phone number is 818-613-3457. And I will bring up your questions as well as I understand them in that session. Thursday at 4:30, we teach a class of advanced reincarnation. We're about class 13 or 14. There's 200 classes. Feel free to join us at any time. You'll find them, the subject very interesting and very enlightening as it applies to yourself. The 7 o'clock class on Thursday is a Zohar class, where we will finish section 5 of the Sulam Zohar for the Parashah of Tzav. Next Saturday, 8 a.m., we will have our ritual, followed by 6 p.m., we do Havdalah. Now, these times are West Coast times. And at 7 p.m., we will do a Zohar for the holiday of Pesach, which is that Monday night. And next Sunday, we will also continue our preparation for the Seder and for the holiday and for the seventh day of Passover, which is the following week. Does anyone have any questions? I wish you Shavua Tov, a good week, and I also wish all of you Shalom in your lives and in your families' lives and in the lives of our world. Shalom.
Shalom. Shavua Tov. Thank you.
Thank you.